Sometimes we hear people saying, "Brother, I don't have any interest in reading the Bible or in prayer." And one would naturally suggest to them, "No, you need to discipline yourself. You need to learn to get up a little early in the morning and spend some time." But it's like telling a person who says, "Brother, I have not been able to, I don't have any appetite, I haven't eaten for the last 1 week." And what do you say to such a person? You won't say, "You go and exercise and slog a little while and then you'll get your appetite." There is something deep underneath that. These are only symptomatic. These are only external things. I don't have hunger. I don't have appetite to read God's word and prayer. These are not the problems. The problem lies deep within. Such a person who says, "I haven't eaten for a week and I'm still not hungry," has to see a doctor. And a person who says, "I don't have appetite to read God's word or to pray," must look into himself and see what's wrong with me. There may be something deeper than this superficial symptoms. Because we heard last Sunday Brother Zach speaking about premature babies. These preemies, when they're born, they are extremely weak and underweight, and they don't cry for milk. Even if they do, it's very feeble. And they have to be fed through tubes, and they have to be kept in the incubator, and they have to be given oxygen, and they need a lot of attention to grow. And there is no guarantee that they will survive. The chances are 50-50. So these people who say they don't have interest in praying and reading God's word, their chances are also 50-50. They may survive or they may backslide. But above all these, above all else, you need to see what is the problem. Did I come to a conclusion that I'm born again just because I went to a meeting and lifted my hands or signed a decision card or said a sinner's prayer repeated after somebody without really meaning, without really having an inward change that could be seen by others and witnessed by others? He is no longer the same person that he used to be. If that experience has not happened to us, then our conversion is shallow, or probably it is not genuine. We need to examine ourselves. When people came to be baptized by John the Baptist, do you know what he said in Matthew chapter 3? He said he was baptizing in chapter 3, verse 5. Then Jerusalem was going out to him and all Judea and all the districts around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when John the Baptist saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers." You see the language he uses here. "You brood of vipers" means "you sons of snakes. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Who warned you to escape God's judgment? You brood of vipers." Some of the strongest words that he used to confront these hypocrites who also came along in the line and stood to be baptized. And some of us may have done that just because my friend has taken baptism, just because somebody's child is taking baptism, I also must push my child to be baptized without really experiencing an inward change. If that has not happened, then there's no point in getting baptized. Baptism is you are identifying yourself with the children of God, and also you're witnessing to the fact that there is an inward change. Because of that, you are taking baptism externally to serve a notice, as it were, to the world and to the demons in the heavenlies, that you don't belong to His kingdom anymore. You belong to Jesus. You are a changed person. That's why verse 8, John the Baptist said, "Therefore, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance." If your repentance has not brought a change in you, in the way you speak, in the way you behave, in the way you live, and the people around you don't see that change in you, and you are the same as you were before, then you have to put a big question mark about your salvation, whether you're really born again or you're only just pretending to be born again. You are not. Because the Bible says, those whom the Lord knows, it says in 1 Timothy, it says, the Lord knows who are His. And are you known by the Lord that you belong to Him? Or you just assume that you belong to Him? There were seven sons of Sceva, who was a chief priest in Israel, that we read in Acts chapter 19. Those sons of Sceva, they used to cast out demons in Jesus' name. And once when they were casting out demons in Jesus' name, the demon said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" Jesus was known in hell, so was the Apostle Paul, but not these guys. And Paul says to Timothy that the Lord knows who are His, and Satan also knows who are His. Does he know who you are? Does the devil know who you are? Are you known in the kingdom of darkness? Jesus and the Apostle Paul were known in the kingdom of darkness. The devil knew them very well. And he said, "Who are you?" And something similar to that in chapter 7 of Matthew, we read in verse 22, Jesus telling certain people, "On that day, many will come in my name and they say, 'Lord, Lord, we did this and we did that. We prophesied, we healed, we did miracles, we cast out demons in your name.'" But Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." The devil did not know the sons of Sceva, and Jesus doesn't know these hypocrites who claim to have cast out demons in Jesus' name. See, two types of people are there in the world. One whom the devil knows, they are a threat to his kingdom. And the other one whom the Lord knows, who are His. And their characteristics is that they depart from iniquity, it says. We will read that verse a little later. And we need to examine ourselves, brothers and sisters, and to see whether my conversion is genuine, or am I just living on a, what they call, hand-to-mouth existence. I come to the meeting, Sunday I get a pep talk and a sort of kick, like you kick a football, goes up a little while and then comes down, and then again next Sunday I have to go for another kick, like these drunkards who go for a kick to their saloons off and on. Do I come to meetings like that? Or do I have a living connection with the Lord, where Jesus said, "Abide in me and my words in you, and you, such ones, will bear much fruit. And by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. We read in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. It speaks about full-term babies. When full-term babies are born, they don't need to be taught to cry for milk. You know, they have a natural hunger which impels them to cry out for milk. Like newborn babes in 1 Peter 2, verse 2. 1 Peter 2, 2. Like newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. See, all newborn babes, full-term babies, cry out for milk. You don't have to force them. You don't have to wake them up. They themselves wake up when they're hungry. And they cry out for milk. And it says, milk of the word. The word of God is like milk to those who are born again, those baby Christians. It is milk, and there is meat also in God's word. And it says that you may grow in respect to salvation. There is a growth in salvation. Some people think no end of themselves when they are born again. They think that they have done God a great favor by accepting Jesus into their lives. Brother, you have not done anything more than what is required of you. You don't do any favor by accepting Jesus. Jesus is not waiting outside in cold rain, knocking at your door, and you feel sorry for him and you open the door and ask him to take some corner in the foyer. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is not waiting for some shelter in your house. Don't think that you have done a great favor by opening your heart to him. You belong to him. The very breath that you breathe belongs to him. And all that you have, every cell and fiber of your body, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, everything belongs to him. And nothing is yours. He gave you life and breath, and you are here because of him. If he draws your breath away, you'll go back to the dust from where you came. Don't ever forget that. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the whole universe. You are not doing any favor to him by accepting him into your heart. And even some people, after they get baptized, they think no end of themselves. They think that they have come all the way. Brother, you have not come all the way. You only come to the starting line. Baptism, salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the brothers in the church, these are all starting line. If you want to see that, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The apostle says here, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of instruction about washings. Washings is baptism. Baptism in water and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And laying on of hands. Laying on of hands is, thank you. Laying on of hands is receiving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. What are these things called, according to the apostle? He says these are elementary teachings. These are kindergarten subjects. Salvation, baptism, and spirit baptism, gifts of the Holy Spirit, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. These are all elementary things, he says. Then what is what is higher studies in the Christian life that we will see towards the end of the message. And these are things that we need to first be established in. We need to have a proper foundation. Jesus spoke of two people towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of Matthew. He said, one foolish man and another wise man. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. He just dug a little bit and then he started building, and the storm came, the winds blew and the rains came and everything was blown up. But the wise man, he dug deep till he hit the rock, and he built upon the rock a solid foundation. He built upon the rock, and then the wind came, the rain came, the flood came and dashed against that house, and the house stood firm. And Jesus said in this way, we can turn there, Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 24 onwards. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, that means everyone who is not just a hearer but a doer of the word, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, that means who does them or who obeys them, is the one who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Building upon the rock is obeying Christ and his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You will keep my commandments. Not keep my commandments, you will keep my commandments. If you love somebody, you will go out of the way to do things for them. And Jesus, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, or rather we can read from verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. But let each man be careful as to how he builds upon it. Let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ himself. You see, what is the foundation here? Jesus Christ is the rock of salvation. Jesus Christ is the rock, it says in 1 Corinthians, that followed the Israelites in the wilderness. He was the one upon whom we are to build. And no one can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation and he is the rock. And we read in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20. Or rather I'll read from verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are your fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. You see, who all we need to be built upon? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets. That is, the teachings of the prophets and the apostles and the teachings of Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, we are called a building. The church of God is called a building. Not this, what you see here. It's a spiritual building consisting of God's people who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, whose sins have been forgiven, whom God knows they are his, and whose names are written in the book of life. And these are the ones the spiritual temple consists of, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Have you seen any temple or any building growing? Once it is constructed, that's it. You don't see this building growing. But there is a building, there is a temple, which is our life, which is our body, that keeps constantly growing. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it says. We are God's household, we are God's building. And it is being built every day. It is ever increasing, ever growing building, a spiritual building. That, you know, God desires. Jesus said, "By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." And any branch that doesn't bear fruit, they'll be cut off and will be thrown into the fire. And if I'm claiming to be a member of the body of Christ, and I come here week after week, and there is absolutely no change in my life, in my family life, in my personal life, and I'm the same covetous man, same dirty-minded man, same angry man, same foul-mouthed man, and my conscience is not pricking me anymore, then that is a sure indication that I'm backslidden, or probably I lost my salvation. We don't believe in once saved, always saved. That is a trash. That's not what Jesus taught, nor the apostles. They feared. Paul feared, lest having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's why I buffet myself, buffet my body, he says. So don't think that just because you said some sinner's prayer, your ticket is ready for heaven. Don't be under that delusion, brother. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal. What is that? The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord abstain from wickedness. This is one of the unmistakable marks of a true Christian, that he abstains from wickedness. He stops doing what he was doing. Not with his own will, but the Spirit that dwells in him works in him day after day, teaching him because of the anointing that is in you. The Apostle John says, no one need to teach you. The anointing in himself will teach you. The anointing will teach you what's good and what's bad, what is pleasing to the Lord and what is not. And as you do this, then the Lord, you will be known by the Lord, and you will know the Lord. See, it is a two-way connection. I claim to know the Lord, but does the Lord know me? That is important. I can say I know so-and-so in the government service, some cabinet minister or something, but does he know me? I know who are the cabinet ministers, who is the prime minister, who is the president and all that of the country. But do they know me? That's important. I claim to be a child of God, but does my father know me as his child? Or am I living in some kind of delusion, thinking that he knows? And then ultimately, I'm pushed out by the Lord, saying that I never knew you, depart from me. Let's examine ourselves today. Where do we stand? Is my love growing cold, or is it becoming hotter and hotter? Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold. You are neither hot nor cold, therefore I spit you out of my mouth, he said. Isn't being little lukewarm better than being cold? It seems like that. But Jesus said, I wish you were cold. At least there will be hope. If you're cold, you'll realize that. Jesus said to the Pharisees, the prostitutes and the tax collectors, they will be ahead of you in God's kingdom because they know that they are sinners, whereas you, self-righteous Pharisees, you don't know your own need. That's why you think there is nothing wrong with you. The problem with you is you're hypocrites. You are not willing to come to the light. You think everything is all right with you. And when that blind man was healed and they were questioning him, he said, God hears the prayers of those who fear him. And those Pharisees told him, you being a sinner, are you teaching us? They were so offended when that blind man said this to them. Do we get offended when somebody corrects us? Do we think, who does he think he is to correct me? What high thoughts we have. We are not willing to take correction from others, one another. We get offended, become sulky, and try avoiding them. And it is to our own hurt. God is not pleased with such. Jesus spoke about the parable of the sower. The sower went to sow the seeds, and the seeds fell in four different places. One on the roadside, one on the rocky soil, one on among the thorns and bushes, one in a good soil. And all these first three, they withered away and died. And the ones that fell on the good ground, they bore fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. And where do we stand? Do we stand in that last category of good soil or in the first three category where we are a little excited initially and then we lose our fire, we lose our glow, we lose our joy and we backslide? That's not how God wants us to live. Then what is it that God expects of us? What is it that God wants us to live on day-to-day basis? These are all elementary things that we have seen in chapter 6 of Hebrews. Salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, gifts, and the judgment and resurrection and that hope and all these things. We think this is the Christian life. It is not. Paul says, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews must be Paul. The apostle says that these are elementary things. Then what are the actual real things after having been born again? We read here in 2 Peter 3:18, the last verse that Peter writes, he says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a growth that comes from God, and that growth comes in knowing the Lord. Jesus said in verse 3, he said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, he said. That is to know the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in an increasing way, day by day, that I get to know him. How do I get to know him? I know him by reading his word. I know his mind and his heart by reading his word and by communing with him in prayer, undistracted prayer, where I shut out everybody and shut myself in with the Lord and enjoy that sweet fellowship. Even when I am in the midst of a crowd, I can shut them all out of my mind and consecrate him in my heart and be with him in that closet, as it were. This is the knowledge of God. We have to grow in the knowledge of God. And another thing that Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 11, for in this way, 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 11, in this way, what is that way? We will go back. In this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In another translation it says, your entrance into the kingdom of God will be abundant if you practice these things. What are these things? Let's go back. Verse 5, it says, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, means add to your faith moral excellence, and to your moral excellence knowledge. What knowledge? Not the knowledge of this world, but the knowledge of God. And in your knowledge of God, self-control, which again comes from the Holy Spirit. And in your to your self-control, perseverance. Perseverance is patience. And to your patience, add godliness. And to your godliness, add brotherly kindness. And to your brotherly kindness, add love. You see, some of these things, love, brotherly kindness, self-control, patience, moral excellence, etc. Can you think in your mind where these things are mentioned? Any young person? In Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, all these things. These are ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. And some of these things are mentioned here in this, what Peter is writing. That in other words, for you to be able to grow and become a temple of the Holy God, or a building in which God can dwell, you have to cultivate these things. Allow yourself to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit, and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can take control of you and work in you and bring forth these ninefold fruit in you, so that your entrance, as we read in verse 9, he who lacks these qualities are blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the form of purification of his sins. And if you continue in this way, then there will be an abundant entrance for you in the kingdom of God. Concentrate upon the character. And I would recommend to all of you to lay hold of that little booklet called A Good Foundation, written by Brother Zach, which we normally advise every person who wishes to be baptized to go through that, open it, study it, open your Bible along with it, look up the reference, study it regularly, And let that sink into your heart so that you will have a good foundation which can never be shaken. May God help us.
Praise God for what we heard, brothers and sisters. I was thinking of the verse we heard in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Here we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, towards the end, speaks about the word of God. You know, verse 23, it says about that we have received imperishable, that is through the living and the enduring, the word of the Lord, word of God. And verse 24, it says, chapter 1, verse 24, it says, all flesh is like a grass, and all its glory is like the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And it goes on to say that, therefore, chapter 2, putting aside all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word of God, so that by it you may grow into the respect of salvation. In other translation it says, full salvation, to grow up to the full salvation. When we come, when we accept the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord, that is like we heard, it's a beginning. We come to the beginning of the line, beginning of the race. But we have to attain the full salvation. That is the will of God. That is the purpose of God. You know, I was thinking our spiritual growth is depending on two things, you know. One is faith and obedience. I was thinking of that hymn we sing often. Trust and obey. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus. Just trust and obey. How we can trust, how we can obey God. You know, we read in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to godly life, through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, by this He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. God has given us precious and magnificent promises. God has given us the knowledge of Him. How do my eyes get opened? To getting to know God's word. To when the word of God richly dwells in my heart, that is when I know the purpose, the plan that God has for me, that I can pursue. The Satan can come and ruin, and he can sidetrack us. That's because we don't know the will of God. We don't know the promises that God has for us. You know, I believe that God has a magnificent, wonderful promises that He has given us. We are ignorant. That's why we don't grow to the full salvation. And second thing is about obedience. You know, I was thinking about 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 verse 3 it says, by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. When I don't get to know God's word, I don't know His commandments, and I don't obey, and how can I say that I have come to know Him? Verse 4 it says, the one who says I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandment is a liar, and truth is not in him. Verse 5 it says, but whosoever keeps His word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. My brothers and sisters, many of us are weak. Many of us are not rooted and grounded in God's love because we have not come to know Him through His word, to true knowledge of Him. And I pray that young people, may God open our eyes to see that need in our lives. You know, when I was thinking about, I was so challenged when John was writing to 1 John chapter 2 verse 14, it says in the last part, it says, I have written to you young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. You are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. Many of us, many of the young people, we are not strong and we are not resisting the evil one. We are not overcoming the evil one because there's no place in our heart for the word of God. Word of God my brothers and my dear young people, decide in your heart, let the word of God dwell in your heart richly. You know, when Jesus, at the age of 12, he could know the scriptures. When he stood, when he was tempted, you know, when the devil came and said that it is written, Jesus could say that it is also written. Many a times I'm so weak because I don't know where it is written. I don't know what is written for me. I don't know the plan God has for me. And I could say, when the devil comes with, it's written, I don't know to say that it is also written. My dear young people, I want to challenge you. Will you be able to say, you know, it is also written? That is the hope of our calling. You know, word of God is referred as a weapon of warfare. You know, sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. You know, to fight this battle, we need the word of God. We need to encounter the schemes of the devil. We are so ignorant. We need the scriptures. We want to God's word dwell in our hearts. You know, I was thinking about Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word." And verse 11, it says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you." And verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Many of us not attained that full salvation. Many of us are weak, not strong. Many of us are not overcoming the evil one because the word of God is not dwelling in our heart. May we decide, you know, as we come to the end of the year, in another 7 days we are going to enter into the new year. How are we going to go? Shall we continue in the same way and go back and defeated and backslide and falling again and again? My brothers and sisters, God has given us something better. God has given us a magnificent, wonderful and magnificent promises. Thereby we can attain. We need faith and obedience. May we ask the Lord to write that on our heart. May young people like Daniel, it says about Daniel, he determined in his heart that he will not defile himself. May we determine, Lord, I want to be a student of God's word. I want to get to know you. You have given me so much of resource to get to know your word. I want to do that. May we, as a young people, may we have the heart for the Lord. It is the God, it is the Lord who is at work in us, who will do his will and to do his good pleasure. He will work in us when we come to him, when we acknowledge our helplessness and say, Lord, help me. Let the word of God dwell in my heart. We don't have time to look at, you know, you can go back and read Psalm 1 where the how our path can be bright, how our life can turn to green when we get to know God's word, when we walk according to the God's word. I pray that the Lord would put a desire in our heart and that we don't accept in the way it is going. As we enter into the new year, I want to determine and I want to go in a new way, a new direction. I believe God has something stored for us. The wonderful things, may we claim it. Amen.